bees in his library?
Confound it, madam, my language is most controlled.
I say we take off and nuke the entire Scythe quarter. It's the only way to be sure.
In 1,000 years, Gondahar was destroyed. 1,000 years ago, Gondahar will be saved.
The spice extends life.
Silent Green is people!
Welcome, listener, to Star Crashed. We're here to talk about a film, specifically Who Wants to Kill Jesse from 1966. Or, as Linnea would put it,
Crochet Sabbath Jesse.
Yes, she really tried.
Probably offended a whole bunch of people with that pronunciation, but yes.
It's a Czechoslovak science fiction comedy, and we're going to talk about it.
Yes.
So, Linnea, this is a film that you introduced me to.
Yes.
Would you like to tell me a little bit about it?
Well, the way I discovered it originally is because it's included in the book 101 Sci-Fi Films You Must See Before You Die, which we're not going to talk about the selection of movies that are in that book,
that's
another discussion.
That's
but that's how I discovered it. And I got it on DVD, and it's not very, at least not here in Sweden, it was kind of difficult to find on DVD, but I managed to track down one copy. And I watched it several years ago now, and I really enjoyed it. And it's a very strange and creative movie. And I brought it because Ebba and I are meeting in real life here. And I brought it with me because I was like, Ebba, you need to see this.
Yes. And it's almost hard to be concise when talking about it. But I will say that it was very entertaining, very well made. Well acted. Like, I've really no complaints. I think it could have, it's in black and white.
Yes.
And I think maybe, I'm guessing that the choice is maybe it was an economic thing, or maybe it was like an art direction choice. But I think it could have been even more campy and fun in color.
Yeah.
So that would be my only complaint. And that's not really a complaint. That's more like I could have appreciated even more, I think, in color.
Yeah. But it does still look really good.
It does.
In black and white.
That should not deter anyone from watching it. It's not, it's really just like me finding anything that could, you know, put the scales a little bit more evenly, I think. But it's about a scientist and her husband. And the scientist has discovered a way to make people's dreams more calm.
Yeah, kind of removing bad dreams.
Yes, removing bad dreams with the unintended side effect of them coming to live in the present. In real life.
Yes.
Which, of course, then all sorts of things can happen when we've got that scenario. Would you like to describe what happens because of this?
Well, at first, we see her sort of show off this thing in front of some other professors and scientists.
Yes.
And she does it on a cow. And the cow originally dreams of flies.
Gadflies, yes.
Yeah, gadflies. And she injects the cow with the serum, and the cow is suddenly dreaming of hanging in a
thank you for reminding. A hammock, I think it's called.
It's
the name. And it's the most chill, lovely cow ever. Like, this cow, I want to meet and hug this cow in person. It just sniffed, I think, it was cake or flowers presented in front of it, and it was just like sniffing them calmly.
And there were people playing violins.
I think that cow was having the day of its life. It was a very happy cow. So, you know, tranquil, nice dreams.
Yes. But the flies start to appear in the room they're in. They have appeared in reality, but they don't notice it at that point.
Yes.
And the scientist's husband, and we should maybe say what they're called.
Yes.
We watched a subtitle version because we don't speak Czech.
as if you can't tell as already.
As evidenced by my attempt at the pronunciation of the film title. But in the subtitles, they are called Rosie and Henry.
Mm.
But that is not their actual name in the original Czech. But that's what we're going to use.
We'll keep using that because it's one we were exposed to.
Exactly. And which we can pronounce.
Yes.
So Rosie's husband, Henry, he's also, I think, some kind of scientist, but he's not involved with her.
A technical.
Yeah. Because he does have, he leads lectures.
Yes. But they're both extremely educated and like, inventive.
Yes.
And, yeah.
But he's also in this, it kind of looks like a factory floor, but it's not. I think it's a research area of some kind.
Probably more like it, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But they have a problem with something that they're dropping over and over again. And he encounters this comic at the end of a paper of a character called Jesse, who invents anti-gravitational gloves. And he's sort of like, oh, I would need those.
Yes. He gets very invested in the story and the gloves.
Yes.
Very invested.
But Jesse, in the comic, is hunted by two villains. One is a cowboy and the other one is sort of like a
Superman.
Evil Superman.
So basically evil Superman and cowboy villain. A duo which shouldn't work, but work perfectly somehow. It's a strange combination. But I think, and also we should say that Jesse, who's the scientist in the comic, is scantily clad, very much like a comic book girl that the men and the boys would sort of look at and be like, wow, that's an attractive female. And she keeps losing her clothes also, or they get torn off like in pieces. So it's just like, I think they found three archetypes from that era or like a little bit older maybe.
Mm.
And they've put it in this comic and I think it works and it's really good satire in a way. And that's why it works really well, even though it doesn't make any sense. Like, why is she wearing that when trying to invent gloves? Whatever, it doesn't matter.
But anyway, yeah. So Henry, he goes to bed and he dreams of Jesse.
Mm.
Partly he dreams of the anti-gravitational gloves,
yes,
but also of Jesse. And his wife, Rosie, sort of, she sees that he's having an unpleasant dream.
Mm-hmm.
So she puts this thing on his head,
yes,
that makes her able to watch the dream. And she sees him sort of with Jesse in his arms. And she goes jealous. So she's like, oh, I'm going to banish this dream. So she injects him with her serum.
Without consent. Without consent. This will happen more times, but it's so unethical. So unethical.
Yes. And then when morning comes, well, lo and behold, there's Jesse.
Yes.
In real life.
In his bed. And not only that.
No. Also the bad guys.
Yes. In their apartment.
Exactly. One appears in the bath.
Yes.
The cowboy appears in the bath when Rosie is opening the door. And she sort of faints. She's like, oh my god, where did this guy come from? And then the Superman-looking guy, he's in like their...
The kitchen,
kitchen,
and
cupboard.
And he completely trashes it. He keeps biting into everything.
Yes.
I don't know if he's hungry, if he's trying to find something, but he bites into everything. And he has Superman. So their strength has entered real life as well.
Mm.
So he can bite through pipes.
Mm.
He can fly. He can all these things that he can do in the comic, he can do now in real life. So they are invincible, and we'll get to that later. But anyway, so this of course sets off a whole series of what should you say? Events.
Hijinks.
So she panics, goes to her work, tries to figure out things over there. He also has to go to his work.
Mm.
So they leave them, these comic book people, in the apartment. And they completely trash it because it's in their nature to do so. And the wife sends sort of a a representative from work, and he does the same. And then also the police gets involved, and the scientists try to sort of figure out a cure, because she tells what her coworkers what has happened, and they test it out on a poor person who was just sleeping there, and they figure out that okay, things in the dreams end up in real life. And what happens next? We have the police. We have. And they run on buildings.
Yes.
We should also mention that the comic people don't speak. They speak in bubbles.
Bubbles, yes. Speech bubbles.
Extremely inventive and very, very effective.
Yeah, they use it very well in the movie. Yes. Because they're like, because the speech bubbles sort of keep hanging in the air for a little while, and they can sort of like throw it away, don't look at that.
Yeah. Or move, can you move it? We can't see it.
Exactly.
You have to move it. It's very effective, and it also adds to the physical comedy of it. It's very well utilized.
The thing is that the anti-gravitational gloves have not appeared in real life. They're still just a dream. But Henry is trying to invent them based on his skills and also sort of what he knows from the comic. At the same time as Jesse and the bad guys are trashing his apartment. And the police gets involved. A chase begins.
Yes.
That goes through the sewers and everything. Because Jesse has this sort of watch that she uses to sort of locate the direction of Henry.
And this is another thing that I liked. Because in the series, it seems like the gloves... everyone wants the gloves.
Mm.
But she's an inventor. So she doesn't just have gloves. Like, she's invented other things. So I think that was kind of nice that they had that thing as well.
Yes.
Not just she was just, like, inherently knowing where he was. Like, she actually had something that she could use.
Mm.
Which, again, shows how smart and sort of inventive she is. So I think that was a nice touch also.
So she goes after Henry, and he's having a lecture and everything. And he's speaking of, like, oh, I think, you know, science of comics books, we should look into that. But anyway, so Jesse goes after him, the bad guys goes after Jesse, the police goes after the bad guys, so it's this whole...
And the scientists, the medical scientist also. And also, I do also really like that he involved his student at one point in a fight. And that was one of the most hilarious, like, just in terms of, like, physical comedy scenes. It was insane. Like, you had the cowboy fighting students, and they all had rulers, so it was kind of like a mock sword fight but with rulers instead. Yes. And the students kept leaping on top of the Superman character, and he was like, she keeps shoving them off, and they kept attacking him again, and then he sort of ends up in the roof, sort of given up.
Yeah.
So it was just a really funny sequence. That whole chase scene was just really excellently put. And also these actors, I don't know if they just managed to shoot it in a way that made them seem like they were really putting themselves almost in danger, but they climbed on things and they were tall things. So it was impressive. Impressive camera work and acting.
And stunt work.
Stunt work. That's the name I'm... That's the word I'm looking for. Yes.
But anyway, so they eventually all gather at Henry's school where he's teaching, and the police are there, of course, and they arrest him because his comic book characters have wreaked so much havoc on their way to him. So they arrest him, and there's a trial, and people are speaking of, you know, oh, well, you know, these dream people, are they real? And what kind of, like, rights do they have? Yes. And can we arrest them? Or should we arrest the dreamer and everything? And Rosie kind of goes against her husband at this point.
Yes. This is the divorce, basically. It happens live in court. It's pretty obvious there's no more overlapping of their lives in the future, basically. They're done. And we sort of also see, to add to this, we see in the beginning, before any of the comic book people come to life, that their relationship is sort of a bit uneven and supportive, but really they sort of do live their separate lives.
Mm.
So it's not a surprise, in a way, that they sort of go into their own direction, so to speak.
So Henry is sentenced to 3 days in jail.
Yes.
Because of this. And Rosie is put in charge of the dream characters.
Yes.
And sort of supposedly to try and get rid of them.
Yes, but somehow. It's not said that they should die. That's
no.
not what they're saying in court.
No.
It's just like, you take care of them as you see fit, basically.
Yes.
She's like, I'm gonna kill them.
Yes.
Which, in a way, I can kind of understand.
Mm.
Because if you just look at them as weird dream figures, not people who've come to life and they're like wreaking havoc on the city, I can kind of understand it, even though it's like, it's really rough when you see it in context, because they do have character and like traits, obviously. So, but yeah, anyways, they do.
Yes, yes. So she tries to, first she tries to, how do you say?
Incinerate.
The Superman character doesn't work. He's sort of like, oh, that was nice and refreshing. Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's like, oh, like a sauna, basically. Like, yes, nice.
And then she tries to rip Jesse in part, in two.
Yes.
Like she hooks her up to two cars.
Yes.
Two trucks and sort of tries to pull her in
yes.
a different direction. And
awful
Jeff,
when you really think about it.
But yes.
We know that it's not going to work because we've already established that they're invincible, basically.
Yes.
So it's
yes.
like, yeah, you can try that.
But at the same time as this is going on, Henry is figuring out in jail, because he's bribing one of the jail guards.
Yeah.
He's figuring out that Rosie has gotten the charge of comic book characters. And he figures out that she's going to try to kill them. And he doesn't want that to happen. So he escapes.
Yes.
And then he goes to these lady assistants that he had.
Yes.
Ivanka was the name
yes.
of one of them. And together they sort of do invent these anti-gravitational gloves. Or a prototype anyway that sort of
works. He and they are really smart.
Exactly. Like exactly.
Yeah.
And he takes these gloves and he runs after Jesse and she saves her.
Mm.
And it's very... and then there's a chase again.
Car chase this time.
And
yes.
they do this sort of gag. It's a gag you've seen before, but
yeah.
where they film the exact same segment of a road, but the cars are just sort of going and appearing in the same different directions all the time. And it's very funny.
It's really effective. And I think it... The whole thing is very like sort of like a heightened type of comedy. And I think it really works. It's kind of simple, honestly. But I think when it's well done like this, it really, really works. And it's creative. Creative would be the word that I would use to describe this film in general. But then after this car chase, they are, let's see.
I think Henry takes Jesse back to jail.
Yes, yes.
Because he says he needs to still serve out his sentence.
Exactly. So they stay there
yes.
for the night.
And because he's been writing these formulas on the wall for the anti-gravitational gloves. And Jesse sort of looks through them and corrects
fixes
him.
Fixes an error.
Yeah,
yes.
fixes an error, which would make the gloves even better than
yeah.
what he has right now. And I think the bad guys, so the cowboy and the Hercules-looking
yes.
dude, temporarily joins up with Rosie.
Yes, but I think they did this before. Because now I think...
Possibly,
she
yes.
that this is the then comes the bathing scene, but because he the
right.
Superman because
yes
Henry and Superman because he has the anti-gravitational gloves so he can actually fight Superman so he punches him
right
into
right.
straight into a garbage truck
yes
and then they run away to the prison
yes
and then after with the prison scene we see that Superman I'm just gonna call him Superman
yeah.
has ended up with Rosie, who's bathing him and really enjoying his muscles. He doesn't quite appreciate the bath,
no.
I think, but he smells, so I guess he puts up with it. And then they go to bed.
Mm.
And so this is also a gag thing where early in the beginning of the film. She's like, oh, but it's Thursday because they have separate beds.
Mm.
But she says, it's Thursday. And the implication is that they have sex on Thursdays.
Yeah.
And the husband is like, okay. But he's like just thinking with anti-gravitational gloves before any of this, all of these things have happened.
Yeah. Yes.
So she says like to Superman, Alden, in this situation, it's Thursday. And it's cut and it cuts to black. And we understand that sex is happening. Superman doesn't want this to happen.
No.
It's because of the way this film is made, it's not like an upsetting scene. But of course, the idea of someone forcing themselves upon another person, it's not funny, but because of the way this film is made, it's fine.
But he's not real, it's a dream character.
It's yes. But we did establish that they have characteristics but still, I just want to make that point clear.
Yes.
So we're not like making a jest out of a situation like that. Mm. But so anyways, then they wake up and she has come up with a solution.
Yes, sort of an antidote. Mm. But the thing is that this will only work if you inject someone or something with this solution. It will bring them into the dream of their dog.
Yes.
Not they won't go back to like the original dream or anything. It will go to the dog. And she injects a bunny and the bunny goes into the dog's dream.
Yes.
And the dog chases the bunny around in the dream. And Superman, as we're calling him, sees this and he's so over her at this point. He just takes this and injects himself and he's like, oh, finally, I'm rid of her.
Freedom.
And she kind of goes like, oh no, my Hercules. So she injects herself and also goes into the dream.
Yes. And then we see a segment because the dream is replayed, like, or it's sent into television. So we see first the rabbit being chased by the dog. And then we see also in this environment that the Superman is being chased by Rosie. So
poor guy.
Poor guy. Poor rabbit and poor guy. It's not easy.
He was evil though, I'm just saying.
He was evil, but I think he did give it up in the end. Like he did lose interest in that, I think. So
yes.
I think something happened in the garbage truck and he was just like, I'm done. Who wants to kill Jesse? Not Superman anymore, at least. And also not Cowboy.
No.
Because you said like he teamed up with Rosie. Mm. He did that before when they were still after the gloves and everything.
Mm.
But now the cowboy person is just another member of the science team at Henry's job.
Yes.
Happily, peacefully working with everyone in a robe. And I thought that was pretty great. We don't need to understand why.
No.
It's one of those, I don't care why he had a change of heart. It doesn't matter. He's got a new career going now.
Yes.
Yes. He gets to be close to the gloves. Maybe that's enough for him. Just being in its awe-inspiring presence is enough for him.
Yeah, because they have at this point invented
like
real proper anti-gravitational gloves, which solves Henry's problem he had at work.
And we should say that also that they did not come into real life.
No.
He had to invent them.
Mm.
So which again just like proves how smart he is and his team is. Like they did not actually, which is also why this situation is even more so complicated, because even like Jesse doesn't know where they are. No one knows where the gloves are because they don't exist in this world. So they can chase each other how much they want. They're not going to find the gloves. They're being invented as they run around chasing each other. Mm. And then it ends with a scene.
Yes, it ends with Rosie, of course, being in a dream.
Yeah.
So Henry is sort of free, and he, you know, he brings Jesse with him home and sort of goes like, oh, you can stay here now. And she says, I love you. And
many times.
Many
she's
times.
In love with him. Age difference be damned.
Exactly.
And they do seem to like each other. So I don't think it's...
No.
It's weird or imbalanced, honestly.
No.
It's like they do enjoy each other's company. They've got a lot in common. So it's fine by me.
But he says to her, well, now you need to speak.
Yeah.
You need to learn to speak properly, not just through the speech bubbles.
Yeah.
So he it goes very fast, but he teaches her to do that. And first thing that happened is that she starts to sound like Rosie, like, oh, have you fed the dog?
Yes.
You know, like nagging.
Yes.
And you see that the ending scene is him watching into the camera. Oh no.
I do have a solution for that problem though. Just get rid of the dog. Also, I would think you would want to get rid of the dog.
Yeah.
Because the idea of his wife, because the hint of this, because the dog sort of speak to him.
Yes.
It suddenly gained that ability and it's his wife's voice. So I would just get rid of that dog. Just like give it to a dog person somewhere who loves dog. Here, you have a talking dog now, but don't listen to what it says like here. But anyway, a fun ending, I think.
Yes, yes. And I mean, to sort of Jessie's defense here, because in the comic that she's in, we don't see any other women.
No.
So really, the only woman that she sort of...
has a reference
to. Yes, is Rosie. So
yes.
I think she's just sort of copying her because she thinks that's what she's supposed to do.
Yes. I mean, it's a funny ending, and I think because it goes sort of full circle.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's gone through all these complications to sort of... having any sense of a new relationship, but it's still the same sort of almost toxic tendencies here.
Yes.
And learning to compromise and everything. But I do think, like, in my mind, I still think it's a happy ending. In a way, even though it's like super intended for him, like, no, he's in the same sort of...
Mm.
But I think these two people would work together better than... because they have more in common, in a way.
Yes, yes.
So that is Who Wants to Kill Jessie.
Mm.
A very fun short, I should say also. It's only 1 hour 20 minutes.
Yes.
So, and this is a perfect example of where I think that you have an idea, but you cannot stretch it how thin and far as possible.
No.
Like, this is... perfect sweet spot. This should not be 10 minutes longer.
No.
It should not be less either.
No.
But it's perfect.
Mm.
They knew when to end. Like, how far and how much fun can we stretch this idea? 1 hour and 20 minutes. That's exactly how far you can stretch.
Yes.
Because they knew that.
There is no fluff. There's no filler.
No. In this. No. They deliver constantly with like the hijinks and the fun and the story, but you shouldn't do more than this.
No.
And this is what I feel like. I think a lot of films that we watch, and I think a lot of films that I watch outside of Star Crash, I do feel like a lot of, especially nowadays, I feel like, I think they should have cut like 10 or 15 minutes.
Or sometimes you can feel that, there were things cut out of this movie.
Yes.
Like, it should have been longer.
Yes. But more often than not, I do feel like they should cut things.
Mm.
And I think maybe a few decades ago, the case was more often that they did cut things that probably should have stayed in films because they were, like, uncertain how long people wanted to sit down before needing a bathroom break.
Mm.
Now we know that we can just, like, pause and, you know, whatever people... have better bladders. I don't know. but anyway, so I do feel like generally I want films to sort of like tighten it up a bit.
Mm.
And this is a perfect tight film, keeping it to what's good in it, basically.
Mm.
Have we said everything we want to say about this film? I think like we've...
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, we really don't have anything bad to say about it, I think.
No.
It's really fun.
Yes.
And, you know, if you can get your hands on it, you should watch it.
Yes.
I don't know, by now, maybe there is a more widely available
home
video release of it. I don't know. Or maybe you can find it streaming online even, because... Like, we have more niche...
I'd love to watch this in, like, Blu-ray format with, like, crisper image, better sound... Like, your DVD version was definitely fine, but I think it would have been really nice to just have, like, clearer image.
Yes, I mean, my DVD copy is not a new DVD, it's an older one.
Yes.
And even for a newer DVD, you can get it in better quality.
Yes, yes.
But yeah, I mean, if if this isn't available like on Blu-ray or anything by now, it should be.
It really should be.
I feel that this is one of those sort of underground classics that really should get new appreciation today.
Yeah, and I think you might be inclined to think that it's very artsy.
Mm.
I wouldn't say that it is, actually. I'd say, yeah, it does. It's artsy in the sense that it's very creative.
Mm.
It's got some ideas that I think is a bit more like you need to sort of like just stay awake sort of in it.
Mm.
But it's like, it's just like a really fun film.
Yeah.
It's not demanding in any way. And I do think maybe the trailer that's available on YouTube, it makes it look more artsy than it is in a way. Mm. Would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember the trailer off the top of my head. But
yeah,
I mean, you reading about it and maybe seeing a clip from it or some photos from it, you might get the impression that it's, this really artsy,
highbrow. Would be
exactly. And I won't say that it isn't those things,
yeah,
but it's just very sort of easily approached.
Yes.
And it's very, for people who maybe are not used to watching art house films, it's a very, a movie that's very sort of... good segue. Doesn't require too much sort of previous know of movies or movie genres or anything. because this movie is considered a part of the Czech New Wave.
Mm.
And I've seen other films from that category. And the others are much more sort of... You may need to read up on some things beforehand to fully understand it. But I don't think that Who Wants to Kill Jesse is one of them.
Yeah.
You can kind of go into this one blind and you will have...
Yes. I've not seen any of that Czech new way that nothing. And I went in completely blind. It's been a long time since I watched that trailer on YouTube. Mm. I still remember the impression that it made and it made me want to watch it.
Mm.
Really, like... but you can go in blind and have a really good time. No previous knowledge. It's a comedy.
Mm.
It's a comedy. It's a well-made comedy. It's 1 hour and 20 minutes. I cannot stress enough how happy I am with them keeping it the length that they should for this idea.
Mm.
So if you can find it, watch it.
Yeah.
It's the preaching of the choir here, I think.
This is also a kind of movie that's really hard to recommend other movies that are like it.
I would have no idea how to recommend it.
No, because it's so unique.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, it is technically like a superhero movie, but it's far from.
Them. Yeah, but it's like superficially.
Yes.
Superficially. And I'm trying to think of other comedies that are... similar, and I probably could, but I would have to like sort of keep this in mind while watching films going forward and feeling like that this is sort of similar like this film. So I don't have any.
I mean, you can maybe argue that because Who Wants to Kill Jesse sort of mixes media a little bit because they have the comic book character speaking with speech bubbles. You can maybe say that a movie like Who Framed Roger Rabbit,
which I haven't seen actually.
No, but that's also kind of that same mixing of 2D characters and 3D characters, that might sort of work. But I still don't think it's quite the same.
This film would be worse, though, if the characters were drawn.
Yes.
In my opinion.
Yes.
It's because they come into the world and they do look strange, these characters, because they're so... they're dressed in a certain way, so people do react to them, but they don't react to them immediately because they're like drawn comic book characters. That's mainly an issue when they start to behave weirdly or they speak, and that's clever, I think.
Yes.
So
it's not quite the same
thing. You could place them in the same.
That's the closest thing I kind of can argue. Yeah. Unless you want to dig into Czech New Wave.
Mm.
That's not so much like visually what Who Wants to Kill Jesse is. Mm. That's more sort of, this is the narrative tradition that the movie comes from.
Yeah.
And there are other movies from that narrative tradition that you might want to check out.
Mm.
But that's about it.
Yeah.
Okay. That's about all the comparisons I can do, because Who Wants to Kill Jesse is really unique. And yeah. I think that's part of why I love it so much.
Yeah, yeah, it was a lot of fun. And yeah, I'd just like to watch it in better quality, I think. Mm. That would be my only, like, thing.
We should get some, like, Arrow video or something.
Yes, yes.
Publish it. That would
nice
be awesome.
Nice special edition. I would love to have some sort of, like, behind the scenes kind of documentary. Mm. Maybe some inspiration, you know, interviews and things like that. That would be cool also. Mm. But maybe that's available on YouTube also. I haven't checked. But yeah, that was Who Wants to Kill Jesse.
Yeah. Another one that we've scratched off from the book.
Yes.
101 sci-fi movies to see before you die.
Yeah. We'll get through it. Should we? I don't know. But we'll get through it.
I mean, that book includes iRobot, so I don't know.
That's true. It does, though. I wonder, because the one that I have, I don't have it here, but that one is from like 2013 or something. I wonder if they've updated it, because who on earth would put iRobot in a 101 films to watch before? Alex, that's just ridiculous. But I think the problem with that, I mean, this is not a discussion about that book, but the problem is that they pick one for each year. Isn't that the way they do it? I think it is.
Roughly,
they pick...
but I don't think...
I think they do, though. So,
but that... don't they have... Okay, so now maybe I'm misremembering the years here. But they should have maybe two from 1956, I think. Because they have Forbidden Planet from 1956. And then I think the original Invasion of the Body Snatchers is from that year as well. But I might be misremembering things.
Mm. But anyways, that's all for us, I think.
Yes.
This time, yeah.
Yes. So, listener, if you want to reach out to us, talk about Who Wants to Kill Jesse, among other things, you can find us at starcrashpodcast@gmail.com. And we'll see you again next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.